Good morning. If you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to begin in just a moment. Do you ever really just consider what a wonderful blessing it is that you do have other saints to lift your voices with? I got an email from one of our brothers in Norway, from the congregation that I worked with there. He's the only man there with three other women that are regular members there. And one of the women is his wife. The other one is, she's married to a Norwegian man, but he is not a Christian. And she is currently in Africa visiting some of her family. The other one is a lady from Lithuania that sometimes has to work on Sundays, and other times she's not there for other reasons. And what he said in his email was, he said, I really hope, I don't know when Eva, the lady in Africa, I don't know when she's coming back, and I really hope Sonata's here. We just started 1 John, and I really want to finish that with them and go through 2 and 3 John together. And I could just, in the way that he was writing, I could just hear he wanted somebody there that he could worship with, somebody that he could study the Bible with. And it's so easy. It's so easy to take this blessing for granted, that we can come here and we can lift our voices together and we can praise God together. We can partake of the Lord's Supper together and encourage one another. And just, let's not forget that blessing. I'm thankful for you, and that I can be here to worship with you. And let's remember our brethren in other places that don't often have people to worship with. Well, something happened. Just 1 second. Technical difficulty. Okay, that's better. We're going to begin in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. This is the story of Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, Had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. That's a very interesting story to me. And there's a lot of good lessons that can be learned from that. But as you can see, we're going to be studying Psalm 1 this morning. But before we get there, I think there's an important point that we need to see before we can really get Psalm 1. And the point is that a lot of times, the things that God asks us to do or expects of us are very simple things. But we have in our mind something different, something greater, at least greater to us. And then we just can't see what the Lord is really asking us and what the Lord is really saying to us. Naaman wanted God's prophet to cure him in some amazing way. He said, I thought he would come out and wave his hand over me and cure the leper. You know, and if I have to go dip in a river, at least that he could do is tell me to go dip in one of our great rivers, the Pharpar maybe, not that dirty old Jordan River. And so he had all these ideas about what God's prophet should have told him and how God should be doing some things. And people often want some amazing cure for sin. They want some key to spirituality. If you do this, if you follow these 6 steps, if you go here, if you do that, you will be a spiritual person. That's why you have so many in different, some of the Eastern religions and other things. You've got these monks that live on top of mountains all their lives, and they sit there and chant to themselves and hum to themselves and have all of these things that they are to do that makes them spiritual. Because some man came up with that and said, now that's better than what God has said. That's better than this stuff that God tells us about. That's just not spiritual enough for us. But what we see in Psalm 1 is that to be righteous before God, to be a spiritual person, it's really very simple we have to do. And while there's a lot that can go into talking about being righteous or being a spiritual person, there's basically 2 concepts that are the foundation of it all. And Psalm 1 presents us with those things. Would you turn to Psalm 1 and read it with me? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night. He is like a tree firmly planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. He prospers in all that he does. But it is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. The wicked will not stand in the judgments, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I want you to see first the path to righteousness that he describes in these first 3 verses. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And one thing that we'll talk more about it in just a moment. One thing that you can see when the Bible refers to the wicked, it's not often the people that we think of. It includes the people that we often think of the wicked, but it's a much wider group. The wicked, according to the Scriptures, are simply the people who will not listen to God and will not do what His Word says. And that means from what we categorize as the smallest sin to the largest sin. That's the wicked when we're talking about who God describes as the wicked. And so when he says the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, I really think what the psalmist is saying, he recognizes that the ways of the world are not the answer. That I should not be listening to the world. I should not be listening to other people when I'm trying to figure out how I should live my life. Because you can look at the world, the way of the world is unreliable. And they are always, they're constantly, their life is full of problems. And they're going back and forth on this is right, and no, this is right. No, this is the way you should go. No, this is the path to success. And so there's no consistency there. There's no foundation there. And so what he says is he doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't go in the way of the sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. He recognizes that's not the answer to this life. There's no hope in those things. He can look at the world, he can look at other people's lives, and he can say, no, that can't be it. That's not how God wanted me to live. And so his delight is in the law of the Lord. He trusts in his Creator. And so really, the foundation to righteous living is very simple. It's faith in God. It's that I'm going to put my life in His hands. I'm going to trust God to tell me what is the right way to live and the things that I should be doing in my life. Listen to Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. And I want to tell you, Habakkuk was in a situation where when it came to what God told him to do in that situation, the world would have been said, you're an idiot for trusting in God. No, this can't be that. Or they, what a lot of them were probably saying, no, this really can't be what God wants for us to do. And so they made up in their minds what God wanted them to do. But what God told Habakkuk, I know you don't understand what's going on. I know it's a difficult thing to understand, but the righteous, the people that will be righteous in my eyes will live by his faith. And so that's the foundation to everything in our lives. It's our trust in God. And consequently, it's our trust in his word. Do we delight in learning from God? That's what it says. That the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is it a joy to us when we open up the scriptures? You know, when I go over to Psalm 119, that whole psalm is about the psalmist's love for the Word of God and the strength and the joy that he gets in reading God's Word. And he talks about during his day, he longs for him to be able to go back home, to be able to sit and open up the Word of God. Is that how we feel about the Scriptures? Do we delight in thinking, when I open my Bible, the God of heaven and earth speaks to me? What a powerful message that is. That's why the righteous man in this passage, that's why his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm not listening to some man that's got just as much wisdom as I do. I'm listening to God. And what we know about the Scriptures is that the very reason that it exists is because God wanted to speak to us. God wanted to talk to us about how we should live. What a wonderful thing. Here's a message from God. God wants me to know these things, and I get to read it. I get to actually communicate with the Creator. That's what it means, his delight is in the law of the Lord. But there's another question. Do we really think that skimming the Word every few days is going to transform us into who God wants us to be? This way of studying that we often do, well, we just kind of open the, you know, we'll read a few verses here, read a few verses there, and, you know, oh, I've got some time tonight. I think I'll read a couple verses in the Bible, and then we fall asleep, you know, before we get past two or three verses. Do we really think that that's what the psalmist meant when he said he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night? It means that even when he wasn't actually opening the Scriptures and reading it, he was thinking about it. He was on his mind. It was affecting the way that he was living. And I imagine that meditating in the law, just thinking about the things that he has already read, that was a delight to him as well. That he could remember, he could know how God wanted him to live. And so the righteous man doesn't trust in this world, but trusts in the Creator. And so what are the results? What does the psalmist say are the results of just simple faith in God and in His Word? Listen to what he says again in verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Anita was showing me yesterday some pictures from their recent hike. Or maybe they didn't go to the big tree this time, but she showed me a picture of the big tree, and that's in Bankhead. And it's just huge. I mean, it's this massive tree, and you know, when you see things like that, when you see those kinds of trees, it's just a powerful image. And it's an image of solidity. And it's an image of strength. And that's the image that God is trying to paint for us, that the psalmist is trying to paint for us here in Psalm 1 and verse 3. It's a tree that maybe has existed for a long time. And it's a tree that's planted on the bank of waters, and it's constantly getting nourishment from the water and the sun beating down on it from the river. And you just get this picture of this tree that's been there for hundreds of years. And it's so strong, and it's weathered so many storms. And I think that's the point. Is that when you look at the world, you look at the world and how they live, they don't have any consistency. And that's what he tells us about the wicked when we get into the next verse, into verse 4. They don't have this strength that's pictured of the righteous man that simply trusts in God. When the storms of life come and sin comes, they can't bear it. They can't get through it. But the one who trusts in God is like a tree firmly planted by the waters. And though those storms come, though the winds blow, it will not be knocked down. You know that song that came out of this psalm? I will not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I will not be moved. I will not be moved in my faith. There's nothing that can come my way that's gonna move me from my faith in God. That's what the psalmist is trying to paint for us. And not only is it a big, strong tree, but it's a tree that produces fruit. Do you ever get tired in your life as a child of God that you want to produce something for God? You want your life to be something that honors God and that you're producing something for Him in His kingdom, but what you're doing instead is you're just constantly going back to the sin that you were involved in before, and you're having to fight your way back out of it, and it seems like that's all you're doing. You're just fighting the sin instead of actually getting to a point to where you're productive in the service of God. The psalmist says, if you want to be productive in the service of God, the foundation of it is trust in God and trust in His Word. He bears its fruit in its season. He is a leaf that does not wither. Simple faith always flourishes. When we just go back, when the problems come, when the difficulties come, let's talk about our Bible study. We're studying the Word of God and we come to something we just don't understand. There's so many people that instead of being strengthened by their Bible study, they're always getting weakened because they come to something that they can't understand right away. And then they just, maybe the Bible's not true. You know, how can it be full of such of these problems? And so instead of being strengthened by their Bible study, they're becoming weak. But you know what simple faith does? It says, you know, I don't understand this passage, but what I know is that over and over again, God has proved Himself faithful. And God has proved Himself true and right. And you know what? Someday I'll understand what God is saying here. I may not right now, but I can stand and I can face the battles of my Bible study. I can overcome the difficulties, and I'll keep studying, and I will come to the answer someday if God has given us the answer. But it's not just that. It's the problems of life and the problems of sin. Things come along and people just shrink. And you know, we face some great difficulties in our life. Sometimes people just treat us wrong. People that we never would have expected us. Are we going to give up on God at that point, or are we going to trust in God? You know, sometimes things come that we don't understand. All of a sudden things were going well and we lose our jobs. Are we going to give up on God at that point, or are we going to hold to Him, the one consistent thing in our life? Sometimes our family members get sick. Sometimes they die. What are we going to do at that point? Are we going to shrink back in our faith? Or are we going to trust in the one thing that we can hold on to in this life? That's the picture the psalmist is painting. He's like a leaf that doesn't wither. His faith holds him strong in those tough times, even when the winter comes. He prospers in all that he does. And you know, I think this can be both spiritual prosperity and physical prosperity. You think about the story of Joseph. Over and over again in Genesis chapter 39, it says, "And the Lord was with him." And what happened? He became second to none in that household. And then all of a sudden, he's second in command of all of Egypt. And you know, I believe God blesses people physically. And I don't think that that means that God is cursing us or God is upset with us just because bad things happen, because we do lose our job. Sometimes that's just life. Sometimes God is trying to teach us something about that. But he prospers in all that he does, so that even when I'm not prospering physically, I'm still prospering spiritually. I'm still growing. Remember what Paul said? I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whether I've got an abundance, whether I don't have very much, I'm still strong with the Lord. Nothing's going to shake the righteous man of his faith, of his trust in God. That's what his whole life is founded upon. But then we turn to the wicked people in verse 4. Look at verse 4. He simply says, "The wicked are not so." They're not the strong tree. They're not producing much in their life. And they're constantly battling. If they are God's people, they're constantly becoming weak in their faith. And they're constantly falling back and dealing with these same things over again. And the reason the wicked are not so, the only explanation is because their foundation is not the same as the righteous person. They're not trusting in themselves. They're not trusting in God. They're either trusting in themselves or they're trusting in the world. They are walking in the counsel of the wicked. They are sitting in the seats of scoffers. They are standing in the paths of sinners. They're not living their life by faith. And remember what Habakkuk said, the righteous will live by faith. And so it's just not so with the wicked. They don't have the same foundation of their life, and they're not going to produce the same things in their life. Listen to what he says, "But they are like chaff which the wind drives away." The useless part of the wheat, that they would thresh out the wheat and then they would either burn the chaff or the wind. They would just let the wind just take it off. And he says, that's what the life of the wicked is like. They're like the useless chaff, and they're blown here and there. They're not. Isn't that a stark contrast between the tree planted by the waters? In that when the storms of life come, there they go. There goes their faith. There goes their hope. There goes anything for them to hold on to. When problems come, oh, there it goes. They don't stand there. They're not strong. They don't turn to God. They turn against God. You know, often so many people, when problems come in their life, they say, "How could God do this to me?" I think an interesting thing is that you don't often hear people saying, "How could Satan do this to me?" Somehow it's always God's fault. It's always God wanting to treat me wrong because he hasn't given me the life that I wanted. He hasn't made everything peachy for me. But the righteous person always trusts in God. But it's not so with the wicked person. He has no foundation. And since he doesn't trust in the Word of God, he has no guidance. He has no consistency in his life. He has nothing to build him up and to strengthen him for those tough times. Verse 5, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment." You know, really, what we need to understand is that the wicked person is working against himself and working against God. And first of all, if we're working against God, we've lost hope anyway. He says he will not stand in the judgment. He has no foot to stand on because he's not trusting in God to begin with. But you know what? In direct correlation to working against God, when we do that, we work against ourselves. Because we go back to what the righteous man has. He's like a tree. He's producing fruit. He's like a leaf that's not withering because his trust is in the Lord. His hope is in the Lord. It's not in himself. It's not in other people. And so when we work against God, we necessarily work against ourselves at the very same time. And he says he will not stand, sinners will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. And there's two things about this. I think it's saying that we will not be considered righteous before God. But at the same time, let me ask you something. If you had a problem, do you want to go to someone that doesn't trust in God? Someone that has shown that they have lots of problems in their life? Someone that has shown they don't have an anchor holding them down and they're drifting back and forth in the storms of life? Or do you want to have someone to lean on that has shown that they can weather some tough storms with their faith in God? I want to tell you something. If you can't stand in the assembly of the righteous, you can't even rely on your fellow people. You can't even rely on your companions, because your companions are then the wicked people. Your companions are the people that don't trust in God. Your companions are the people that are just floating back and forth just like you are. So, the wicked people work against God. They work against themselves. And they can't even rely on the people around them. And so, he says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The simple reason faith in God and His Word works is because that's what God wants from us. Where it says the Lord knows the way of the righteous, it could be translated the Lord has regard to the way of the righteous. In other words, this is what He wanted. This was His plan for His people, to live by faith in Him. So that when problems come, so that when things come, my faith is in God. I can stand tall and I can stand true no matter what comes, because the Creator, He's my foundation. He's what gives me strength. He's what guides me in my life. The Lord knows. He has regard for the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Turn with me to Isaiah 26, and the lesson will be yours. Isaiah 26, beginning in verse 1. I think there's some parallel thoughts here to what we've been talking about this morning. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He casts it to the dust. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls." Seek God. Trust God. Live for God every day of your life. And there is a stronghold there that you can depend on no matter what comes. If you have been walking in the way of the wicked up to now, and remember, the way of the wicked are just simply those that don't trust in God. That's the biblical description of wicked people. And so if you haven't been walking by faith, if you know that the weakness of your faith has been shaking you, won't you come this morning? If you're a Christian, you can come up here and you can tell us about your faith. You can tell us about your issues, and we'll pray together. That's what this is all about, is that we can do this together. If you're not a Christian, you can turn from your wickedness. You can turn from your sin, and you can be made righteous in Jesus Christ this morning if you will come in faith. Confess that faith and be baptized into Jesus Christ. Whatever your needs are, will you come, please, this morning as we sing this song?